Hi friends, Heather here.
So we launched a thing called This is Down Syndrome. It is a global movement to shift the Down Syndrome narrative. With storytelling and relationship at its core, This is Down Syndrome will offer an expansive, relatable, and transformative look into what it really means to live with Down Syndrome. So through powerful images and bite-sized engaging stories, we will show a variety of aspects of living with Down Syndrome. We will do this by photographing and highlighting not only people who have Down Syndrome, but their parents, siblings, grandparents, extended family members, friends, anybody connected to a person with Down Syndrome. We want to tell your stories. You can go to thisisdownsyndrome.com or on Instagram, we are this.is.down.syndrome to learn more.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down Syndrome. This is Mercedes,
Micah,
and Heather.
And today we are joined by our friend Jen Jones to chat all about raising her teenage daughter with Down Syndrome. We are so excited to hear about parenting from her perspective. So thank you for joining us, friends, and welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. All right. Hi, ladies. This is going to be fun.
Good. Good stuff.
Right? Because the teen years, Heather, you're right around the corner. You're like practically in it, but we're right around.
Weeks away.
Weeks away from a teenager with Down syndrome.
Yes. A couple months, but yes. Yes, I am excited about this conversation. I have so many things I want to talk about. Yes. And I have found just really recently, because adolescence is just a whole gig that you just don't get to avoid unless you want to be a neglectful parent. And bless our kids' hearts, they also don't get to avoid it no matter what. And I've been talking to some of my friends. A few things here. I don't have very many friends who have kids with Down syndrome that are Macy's age. I think it's because my Down syndrome community mostly came from Instagram. Mm-hmm. And by the time Instagram came along, Macy was already, I don't know, five or six. And then most of my friends have kids Augie's age. And so that all of a sudden, it was fine. And entering into adolescence, I'm like, holy smokes, I don't even know who to talk to. I feel so alone. I can't. And as a teenager, I'm not going to go on Instagram and be like, hey, any moms out there dealing with and fill in the blank about Mason, that could be totally humiliating for her. She's a teenager, right? Like her peers are on Instagram reading the things I'm writing. I'm listening to our podcasts, etc. So it's been tricky. It's been tricky to navigate. And I think because I have been mostly in the social media space, I think there's a huge lack. We know this. Kids over the age of 10, for sure, like over the age of seven, eight, there's just not as big of a community. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling it. And freaking teenagers, adolescents.
Yeah.
God bless us. Right. I mean, Micah, you've got your August is the same age as Macy, I think.
Yes. He's the same age. And so he is, going to be 13 in June.
And, oh yeah, Macy too. We've talked
about it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. We know this. Okay. And yeah, it's terrifying. Like I keep telling myself, like, there's some things that are wonderful about it. I really feel like before I had kids, I worked with teenagers. That was my full-time gig. I was in youth ministry. And I love teenagers. And kids were a lot harder for me to get. Like, they weren't my natural language. And so those early years with little toddlers were really hard for me. And so some of it, I say I'm terrified, but in a lot of ways, I am so thrilled. And I love hanging out with August. I love that we have like real conversations. I love that he has passions that they are not the passions I would choose, because he wants he's very passionate about horror movies that he's not allowed to watch.
Oh, heavens.
And so like trying to navigate that of like, how do I encourage you to love things without telling you that I hate the things you love, you know? But
oh, that is so funny.
I do love getting to like being in this different side of it, like where he's growing up and we can share things and you know, have jokes, and he has a funny sense of humor and all of those things. But yeah, I feel like when it comes to teenage stuff, I mean, I'm scared of navigating the dating thing. I'm scared of navigating the peer pressure thing. Mm-hmm. And then add a whole layer of disability into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then add the fact that what you said already, Heather, about we like, as the three of us and kind of our community online, we rely on social media to teach us. And when it feels for parents of teenagers like there's things they can't share for the sake of their child's privacy, then it's harder for us to learn it and to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So it's tricky.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky. So I'm glad that we could talk to Jen, because she's some years ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Me too.
Well, before we jump in and invite Jen on, I want to read, as we've been doing, another one of our listeners' sweet reviews. So everybody, I want you to know, this is from Colt's mom. And how cute is that? Colt's mom.
The cutest. Yeah. It's so cute.
She says, thank you so much for creating and sharing this podcast. Each episode I've listened to so far has resonated with me and my experience as a mom of a child with DS. I love the conversational style as well. You ladies are awesome. Keep up the wonderful work. So Colt's so mom, sweet. Thank you. That means a lot to us. And we are thankful that you get to be part of this conversation too with us. To all of our listeners, don't forget, you can review the show yourself at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And maybe we'll pick yours to read aloud next week. We love reading these, and we just appreciate you guys so much.
All right, friends, we are so excited to introduce you to our friend Jen Jones. She is founder and CEO of Jen Jones Direct, LLC, and the creative architect of the Significant Conference. Her creative endeavors include books, courses, conferences, and so much more, all with the goal of empowering women to create the life they want. Jen also is a wife and mother to 4 children, including her oldest daughter, Addie, who has Down syndrome. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you. I'm so here.
I'm so excited that you're here. Okay, so Jen, will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and especially about your family?
Yeah, well, I am like officially middle-aged, so let's just start there. I used to go to the grocery store and see moms like me and go, oh, wow. I'm like, oh, I'm her now. I have teens. I'm 46. I've been married 20 years. And I do have 4 kiddos. And they range in ages with my oldest, who's Addie, who has Down syndrome, and she's 16. And then another daughter, Tatum, 14. My son is 13. And my youngest is about to be 11. So boom, boom, boom. Just like every year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, that's kind of the track I'm on. It's a little bit wild, but not anymore. It's not the track I'm on anymore. It was the track I was on. Now Brave is 1 and we are done. And so
I think that the littles phase is a little more challenging, taxing physically and emotionally. And then as I kind of find myself a little in the sweet spot, though I know they are teenagers. There's a little more independence there. So just more mental, emotional taxing than physical, I guess.
Oh, well, hold my hand through this, Jen, because I'm counting on you.
Yes. I know that you, Mercedes, and I, all of us, the three of us, have our oldest and first born has Down syndrome, which no matter what order your child with Down syndrome comes to you, it's it's a different experience for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I find it interesting with like the oldest, and even the oldest fitting into those stereotypes of an oldest child and all of that, which Mason is not. Mason's one of those. I feel like Sunflower fits the role, right? In a lot of ways. So what was it like having Addie as your first child for you? And sorry, I'm going to make this a two-part question. And then the fact that she is leading the way, she is your oldest teenager as well.
Yeah. Okay. So having her as my oldest in some ways, I think was a gift for me. And that might just be how I am wired as a woman, but I think it helped my parenting because I had nothing to compare her to. I didn't have a child before her that reached milestones at, you know, what all the books said they were supposed to. So I didn't know completely that that's the way it was supposed to be, which probably helped me quite a bit in that feeling of, in some of the disappointment or the defeat, or the struggle when our kids aren't doing what, you know, the world or the books or other moms are saying they're supposed to do. So it served me well to have her first in that regard, as it relates to the comparison trap that just mothering sometimes provides. And as she has gotten older, it has been a little messier with the other kids because, I might get emotional in this whole thing because the teen part definitely is I think right around middle school is when I really began to experience the messiness of what it is to mother both kids that are like Addie, who's differently abled, and then totally typically developing kids who are actually like really high achieving and super self-sufficient and independent and kind of go-getters, and watching Addie go, but I'm oldest. It's been a little messier in regard to she still knows her birth order. Mm-hmm. She's fully aware that she's first and she's oldest, and that she should get to stay home alone too if I'm going to let her sister, who's just a year and a half behind her, stay home alone. Mm-hmm. Or right now we're embarking on her sister, who's 15, talking about getting a permit for driving. And Addie's like, but I'm going to drive first and I'm already 16. I mean, these are the conversations that she's having, utilizing the words that she best can muster to communicate it. But it's very much like, oh, but I should drive first because I'm the oldest. So that has been emotionally a little bit taxing to help her understand, like, not to put limits on her, but to deal with realities of the fact she's not going to be driving at 16, to navigate that, because she still very much knows who she is and knows mm-hmm. where she falls in line with our family, but the siblings are surpassing her in many different opportunities and abilities, mm-hmm. just by nature of their uniqueness and their typical development.
Right. So how, if you don't mind me asking, would that conversation go as like talking to Addie about why she's not going to be driving at 16, why, and will you practice with her later on driving? So what, tell me all that, because that's all I want to know right now.
Yeah, no, we actually have had multiple conversations. So we've started, so when this got brought up, I mean, of course, my mom heart was like, okay, hold back the tears. That was shocking. I wasn't expecting her to say, but wait, I'm oldest. I'm already 16. I can drive. I started by just saying, well, what kind of car do you think you would drive, Addie? Like, what car would that be? And, you know, we have a big old SUV. So she's like, well, not this car. So I'm like, right. What car would you actually, you couldn't touch the pedals. So just right. Start to kind of like, just explore with her, like, well, what would that look like for you? What kind of car would you want to drive? Where do you want to drive to? And being open to the conversation and then explaining a little bit that you have to take a really hard test. Do you want to study for that test? No, she doesn't want to study for the test. And going, yeah, well, it's kind of hard to drive and it is a test. And then honestly, what we did do, Mercedes, is we told her, we're like, before Tatum actually drives by herself anywhere, we will take you to a parking lot and you will be the first to drive. And so we're going to, if that means we're sitting on my husband's lap, like you do with your toddler, right?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. If you live out in the rural ranches,
right.
Yes, totally.
But we're going, like, we made that decision. Like, Addie, you will drive first.
Yeah.
Before Tatum actually totally gets behind the wheel, we'll hit a parking lot up and you will be the first to drive. Cause you're right. You're the oldest and you are 16. So that's kind of how we navigate it. And honestly, that was enough for her. That was enough for her with where she's at and her thinking on it.
Acknowledging, sitting and working through it. I love that. Not just a, like a no and no, that's not for you. Yeah. You were validating. And I just love that approach. I love that approach. Even the part of taking a test. Oh, you don't want to take tests? Well, that's a big part of it. Okay.
I love that because you came up with it so quick. Josh and I, my husband Josh and I always joke about, we feel like magicians all the time. Like, what can I pull out of this hat today? And like, it's like, I didn't even know I thought of that. Like, whoa.
Yes.
It just came. It's brilliant. It's so brilliant and probably very specific to Addie, right? Like, I'm even thinking when the conversation, if and when it happens with Macy, I will probably use some of those tactics, but it will also be very specific to Macy. I want to ask you one more question about all of this. You talked about when you just felt so emotional when Addie said, but wait, I'm first. Will you talk about that a little bit more, about maybe even like that emotion, if it feels similar to the emotions from when she was a toddler? Is it kind of the same emotion, the same foundation, or is it a totally new emotion as a teenager? Unpack that emotion bit a little bit.
Okay. So, I think it's now the emotion is less devastating than it was when she was smaller, because I have so many years of hope and, there's just been so much good and such a solid, like almost 16 years of obstacles becoming opportunities and things working out different, but better. Or like, you know, so the unexpected has, I've had 16 years of what was unexpected becoming the greatest gift. So I, it's not, the emotion isn't as devastating and doesn't feel like it's determining a future, which in the toddler years, those statements or that setback was like, oh my gosh, this is just shifting the entire trajectory. And oh no, what are we going to do? And is this ruining her life? And I don't have those emotions anymore. Because I know with the history of her life, no, it's nothing is like an end all be all, that nothing is actually going to be the end of her education or the end of her relationships or just taking a turn and here we go. And it's just looking, it's looking different, but it will be better than I have imagined some way, somehow. The emotion now is because I now have 16 years of watching a little human develop and grow and become a wonderful person who has desires and needs and hopes. And I'm deeply connected to that, and her desire and knowing that that may not work out actually just makes me sad for her. Like, it's empathy for her. Like, oh, she wants this. Ah, how can we make it happen? And we may not be able to make it happen, or she may not be able to happen. So it's just disappointment. Like I would be for any kid, any of my other children or my friend, like, this is actually Addie communicating her own wants and needs and hopes. And she might have to navigate disappointment. So it's more heartfelt, not about me. Mm-hmm. For my toddler years, I think it might've been a little bit more about me and my expectations. Now it's connected to, oh, I'm gonna have to guide my teenager through disappointment and her own expectations. And that's hard.
I love that. Cause I always find myself talking to Andy about, these little years where, like, yeah, I feel like I'm walking in front of them, navigating them. And then when that shift is going to happen, where we're going to be walking alongside them. And the walking alongside, I feel like, is already something I'm like, it's almost too emotional to think about. Like you were saying, you're sad for Addie. Like, that almost hurts me more than, oh, does she have a friend right now? Or, ooh, like she's not meeting her milestone. It's almost like that heart jerk, like of, ooh, don't feel sad, please. You know, I don't know if I can handle it, but I love that. I don't know. Cause it makes me, it wants me to prepare for that and to see that as a reality and become the best I can be to walk alongside her in these unique, I don't know, life that she's living that's impactful and it's beautiful, but it is unique in this world.
The beautiful upside to that for me though, as Mercedes, as you're saying that, is when they're a little littler and younger, our kids with Down syndrome, I sometimes feared, is Addie actually going to become like this, an individual with a unique personality? And then you say it and you believe it, but you're so much guiding and they're not as verbal or they're not as able to, like all these things. So the beautiful upside is like, oh, they're becoming that. And then you just have to navigate the fact that they are a wonderful human with a ton of abilities and possibilities and actually a life that really, really matters. And so there's that beautiful upside of what you hope for them. The downside is then you just actually have to feel with them too. And that's harder.
I know. That is hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jen, I would love to hear more about Addie as a sister and just the sibling relationships in your family. How do you think that having Addie, especially, you know, you spoke a little bit about her being the oldest and how that shaped your parenting. I'm wondering how it shaped her siblings and how she shaped your family in general.
In the best possible way. I mean, you know, for me, having a child with Down syndrome, I know we all have very different stories, even amongst the four of us. And for me, I was not excited and I was not thrilled. I was really devastated and disappointment, and I experienced deep grief. It felt like loss of what I had hoped for. That's not about Addie. That's about me. That was my bag of tricks and my issues. And it took me about a year to work through those. But when I did, I was able to embrace the ridiculous gift and amazing blessing that Addie is. And so really from there on, I began to see her as the light that she is and truly the joy that she brings to our family, how it shapes my kids. I think the other three, they really do see people through a lens that is non-biased in so many ways. I mean, I know we all have biases, but they do see through a lens of like, so what? Like, oh, I think they might be on the autism spectrum. I don't know, but they are hilarious. You know, like, it's very this lens of, yeah, we're all sort of uniquely made, but yet we all matter. So we just engage in the ways that we can. And the rest is the rest. And so it's helped them a lot, I think, as being better humans in society. How it impacts in the home is not much different. I mean, I actually, there's four of them and we have four bedrooms, but one's for my husband and I. And so Addie had been sharing a room with her youngest. And you know what? Those two are like oil and vinegar. I don't know. They don't mix well. So we just recently over the summer, we shifted and we gave Addie her own room, which my 15-year-old who had her own room was like, what? And I'm like, actually it's appropriate. Addie is the oldest. She should get her own room. She'll be out. She'll be moving on someday. You guys will get split, but the two younger sisters are now going to share. And they fought like sisters. So right. We shifted the room right. And Addie got her own room. It's very, they are definitely a little more gracious with her. They understand that she sometimes requires help and sometimes they're willing to give it and sometimes they're not.
Right.
So, but I think it's made them better people. And truly they've helped Addie quite a bit because they do treat her pretty, you know, like just one of the other siblings. And so it's caused Addie to have to sort of rise to the occasion in certain areas, and have some skills and behaviors that are, that help her function in the real world a little bit better.
I love that.
Okay, I want to talk about my sweet little Macy Moo. is going to be 13 very soon. And we were chatting about the girls in our time about adolescence a tiny bit. And so what have been your greatest tools in navigating adolescence and teenage years with Addie? And I want to add to that, I'm asking the question through the lens of we on the podcast here, and you and I have talked about this in just private, you and I, a little bit. My Down syndrome community has been through social media for the most part, and is. I actually don't have any friends with kids with Down syndrome that I've met outside of social media. And so that's not true. I have one. If she's listening, I love you, girl, Marlena. And so as we are, I don't have any friends who have kids Macy's age. I have very few friends who have teenagers because social media is a young platform. Mm-hmm. So how have you navigated adolescence and teenage years specific to Down syndrome? What have been some ways that you've been able to do that well?
So this does kind of go back to the very first question you guys asked me about her being my first. There was a big part of me that resourced myself like I was going to resource any of my daughters because she was my first. And I was like, okay, well, I just need to know how to take any child through adolescence and puberty. So honestly, it's sitting right here because I'm going through my youngest with it, but the caring, care and keeping of you, yes. It's an American Girl doll thing. I read this with Addie. But let's just practically speaking, I leaned into my pediatrician a ton. Because again, I actually did that with all of my kids with him. I leaned into my pediatrician and said, what can I expect? And when can I expect it? And that was very similar to any child with, or any, even a typical developing child. It was based on all the same things that they base another child going through puberty. That was not different. Now, how she could care for herself, was another conversation that we had, and we chose to believe the best for her. Like, we have everything, hold the bar high and try to teach her. The geneticist that diagnosed Addie, when I was in the hospital, I was just like, oh my goodness, what do I do? And she's like, I was like, can she do this? Will she do this? Will she do this? She's like, if you teach her, if you teach her. And so when it came puberty and adolescence, I thought, okay, well, then I'm going to take the approach of teaching her. Mom, and let's see how she does. And so, you know, Addie's been able to care for herself well. She has all the same signs when it's that time of the month, because she actually did go through full puberty. There were a few things that are different, but very, very few than my other girls. Or than the books would say, but most of it was pretty much right in line. That is one area that they kind of that Addie developed pretty much right in line with what the books say for a typically developing child. And then I just kept having conversations, and then I'd watch for the signs and we'd talk about it. We talked about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And I will tell you, I mean, my experience, I think with any kiddo with Down syndrome, and of course the abilities here are going to totally vary. And I get that. That's why I leaned in my pediatrician as well, because he told me, he's like, if we struggle with this and it's something she can't care for, there's actually some things we could do if you feel comfortable doing some of those things. We just didn't have to go down those roads because she's cared for herself. And it's just been an ongoing conversation. And I tried to just keep it open and talk. And I don't know how else to say it other than it wasn't atypical. It really wasn't that atypical. And she actually feels the same like embarrassment or shame or whatever that a typical kid, I will never forget one time my mom, she was at my mom's house and my mom called me and she's like, Addie won't come out of the bathroom. And I said, oh, she's like, you know, can you get on the phone with her? And she's super open with my mom. And so I said, well, hand her the phone. So she like gave her the phone through the bath, you know, through the door. And Addie, I heard her like close it. And I'm like, what, Addie, what is going on? Are you okay? Do you need mom to come get you? What's happening? She goes, mom, I can't go out there. It happened. It's the time of the month. So she was trained.
I love her.
And she learned, and she can be appropriate. And so, I mean, my suggestion is to navigate it the way you would with any kiddo, and then see where their abilities fall out, and then navigate that with your pediatrician and otherwise, depending on how it goes.
Mm.
Is that answering your question?
Yes. So, like, yo,
menstrual so cycles good. And all that. So what else?
Well, no, I love it. So I was thinking all that's super helpful. We're on a similar journey. The book, I can't recommend the book enough. Friends will link it. It's so good. And yeah, I sat in bed and read it to Macy like a couple years ago. And then there's her sister, Truly, you know, she's like 6 and 7 years old. And so True's all in it, all in as well. Right. And August too, we're all on this journey of adolescence together as a family, which I love. I'm thinking more the emotional.
Oh,
with apart from the physical. It's like, for example, I was walking with a friend of mine who doesn't have kids with Down syndrome. And I will admit that I'm feeling very isolated right now, mm-hmm. in the season of life we are in with a child with Down syndrome. And I'm speaking to her about that. And she's saying, this also just sounds like adolescence. Mm-hmm. And as we all know with our kids, we don't know where one starts. Where does the Down syndrome start, right? It's like, yes, it is. There is a piece here that is adolescence, and that is true for that. But also to my friend, you don't understand what it's like to have a child with Down syndrome go through adolescence. So like that, feel that at all? And we're different.
Yeah. No, totally. And the gap, you know? And I think right where you're at in the like 12 to 13 is when I saw the gap. That's when the gap became really real for me on the emotional side. Not because she was experiencing big emotions, bigger feels, and expressing, she had a crush on a boy, mm-hmm. and he was actually so kind to her, but I still was like, you know, so all the feels, right around like that 13-year-old age. And, but then there was this huge gap because she didn't communicate it or, engage in it like a typical 13-year-old.
Right. Yep.
Less inhibitions, more just like honest, like,
yep.
You know, all the feels. And so, that again was another milestone mom moment for me to embrace. Was I going to try to make her be like a typical 13-year-old? Mm. That's about me. Or was I going to go, okay, some of this is 13, but then at any given moment, it goes 5. Mm. And she becomes 5. Am I going to just roll with that? And that's what I had to choose to do, because I do think they are experiencing the feel. Like I said, on the physical side, it's not much different. It's not much different on the emotional side either. It's just the way by which they end up communicating or behaving. You know, when Addie would get really frustrated and angry, I'd be like, Addie, you know what I think this is? I think, and then we would talk about the physical component and what was probably happening in her body. And I would have her name emotions. I would do all of those things. I don't quite do it the same as I do it with my 15-year-old, because my 15-year-old's like, oh, mom, seriously, I'm going to name all my emotions right now. I get it. It's probably like, but with Addie, I did. I made it more childlike, because again, she's 13 and 5.
Yeah.
And at any given moment, I don't know which one I'm seeing. So I just had to be more aware, more attentive, perhaps a little more intentional there, as it related to like friendships also when the big gap came, because, you know, she's still wanting to do, you know, cartwheels dancing around to the Descendants when all of the kids her age are like, Descendants, who watches we're done with Disney. I had to be okay with that. I had to get okay with that. And that was probably, again, harder on my mom heart. She does express those emotions with friends and things. But then we go back to like all my kids, regardless, Down syndrome or not, you just need one friend. So who's going to be our one friend then, Ad? Here we go. Here we go. And we just try to navigate it, looking at like, okay, well, what can we do? And who can it be? And where can we connect? But I do think that the emotions are pretty much in line as well. they're just going to come out in unique ways because the inhibitions are so less. That yeah. childlike part that can be so beautiful in those moments can be so inappropriate as well. And I do think you just need to identify as a mom of a teenager, definitely go, oh, like yesterday she wouldn't take her head. She had her headphones on with her music and blaring it. And she was not listening to us. And we were trying to load up in the car. And I was like, I was treating her like I did when she was five, mm-hmm. like almost like getting ready to a countdown. And then I'm like, this is so 16. She's got her headphones on. She does not care about me. She is listening to her music. She doesn't want to go. She's like, can I just stay home?
Yeah.
That's 16. So appreciate it for 16. Navigate it. Right. But so anyways, I hope that helps a little bit.
Oh, it does. I loved one video you posted of Addie. You guys are in the car and she had her doll buckled up.
Oh, yep.
Oh, so sweet. and so to the world standards, not age appropriate, I guess you would say. Right. So I understand what you're saying as far as 16 and 5, even though I'm not going to lie, that's hard to hear, right? Sometimes like, oh, no, she's 16, to compare your 16-year-old to 5. That's almost like when I would get her, or when I even do get her testing done, OT, PT, and where her benchmarkers are at. I'm like, I do not see her as 3. No, that can't be possible, you know, and it's that sting. And I guess I'm just thankful that you're saying that sting doesn't go away, but we could choose how we hold it and how we react to it. Cause yeah, it is also precious. As an outsider, I see that for Addie and I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Her doll. I love that. But I can also see as a mom, am I going to be okay with that? Or my mom heart, like wrestling with that kind of a thing.
That's where Addie's made me better. Yeah. Because the truth be told, guys, that's why it was so devastating to me when I actually had a child with Down syndrome, because I think we all have expectations at life, but if I'm being completely honest, appearances and image and this little picture of what it's all supposed to look like, because that's what culture says. And that's what I actually care about.
Mm-hmm.
And Addie has, and so I felt like devastated because it was like, that was stripped.
Mm-hmm.
But actually what I have gained over 16 years, because like I hated those tests when they were little, like, you know, prepare my heart and like kind of toughen up a little bit for them to tell me that like she's 3. And I'm like, no, she's not. She's 9. And I don't see it. You know, like it was hard for me. This past Christmas, she asked for a kitchen and she's asked for a kitchen a lot. And we had a kitchen until she was about 10. And then I'm like, nope, we don't do kitchen anymore because that's not what 10-year-olds do. And we don't do kitchen. So, you know, give away the kitchen. And she has asked for a kitchen for years. And this Christmas, I think also just in light of the world,
mm-hmm.
I was like, who says what it's all supposed to be like? And why have I said no to a kitchen? Because who doesn't want their 16-year-old to want to play with the kitchen? Because I got a 15-year-old. I'm like, maybe you want to just play in the kitchen.
Totally.
Don't you want to keep playing with kitchens? And so we bought her a kitchen. And that, I'll be honest with you, she doesn't play with it that much. I was like, you wanted this kitchen so bad. She's on her headphones listening. But that's where sometimes, this parenting journey that with kiddos that are differently able is such a gift and a win-win. As they grow and develop, they're going to experience so many wins. And there's so many, I mean, Addie's going to drive in a parking lot. And that's awesome and huge. And then I get to a place as a mom where I'm like, okay, the 16-year-old wants a kitchen. Great. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? There's more to this life than just this life. And I don't need to get caught up so much with these culturally definitives And I think it's what you say all the time, Heather, we can shift the narrative. And so in our own home, I'm like, okay, right. Let's shift the narrative a little bit about what I'm expecting Addie to want. Mm-hmm. Sometimes she's 16 and wants to rock out to her music in her headphones or play on her, on her phone. And sometimes she wants to play at the kitchen. And that's just the messy cocktail, I think, of parenting a child with Down syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jen, you mentioned how you were navigating that big change between, like, I think you said like 12 or 11 when friends, it was just, there became such a gap. And, you know, right now Ace is 5 and he has play dates with a lot of typical kids who are, you know, in our neighborhood or friends, my friend's kids, that kind of thing. And I wonder how that has shifted as Addie has gotten older, how you've navigated friendships, and do you feel like you're still kind of navigating that, trying to figure it out with her?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm navigating anymore. I feel like I have, I've got a greater understanding and a perspective that it's going to look different than my other kids and friendships, and sometimes not. So Addie doesn't have tons of friends. Addie is very well loved and very well liked. And in fact, my other kids are always like, oh, I met so-and-so who is a typical developing, you know, person at their school. I met them because they said, you know, Addie was in their class or they were playing softball with Addie or whatever. So she's loved, she's liked. She doesn't have tons of deep, meaningful friendships because the gap is so huge cognitively. And I don't mean just like by social wants and needs and desires and ability. I mean, and though Addie is a very strong communicator, it's just not exactly the same. And so she continues to have family friends that we've, you know, those lifelong friends that are either your neighbors or whatever in your community. They, over the years though, even the connection there has looked different. It's just, it's possible. She can still engage and there's room at the table for her. But as far as like a true friend, I think Addie probably has 2 and they don't get together tons. Because again, those 2 honestly are typically developing. And so they're kind of living their own life too. And then they come over and hang out. They text, she does text, so she'll text. And Addie's like, it's her very, very, but you know, it's her very, very best friend. I don't know that it's like the very, very best friend back, but there is a mutual respect and a mutual friendship. You know, what shifts as they get older is I'm not hanging out with that girl's mom. They met in middle school. Mm-hmm. And an appropriate middle school now to high school friendship. They attend the same high school. But I know the mom, and the mom has, you know, come over to the house, but we're not hanging out. So that also makes it a little more complicated because the things that I try to find some common grounds that she can engage with these kids, because having them come over, because again, at any given moment, Addie will be, okay, let's do cartwheels, where another 16-year-old is like, I'm not going to do cartwheels right now, Addie, but thanks. So, you know, I do try to find a couple hour window. Let's go swimming. You right. want to come to the beach, some mutual grounds to help facilitate it as they get older. It's not that it's not hard on my mom heart. I want nothing more than my children to have deep, meaningful friendships. I've just come to a place where I know Addie will always be loved and she's very much accepted and very much included, but a deep, meaningful friendship, they're going to be few. But then at the end of the day, isn't that true of us even as adults? Mm. I have to kind of balance out my perspective and go, okay, that's kind of true. That's kind of true for me too some days, most days, especially right now, right? So yeah, so that's what it looks like. And again, it's just another area I think I'm, the mom heart for us to just kind of keep growing mm-hmm. and embracing this journey that has lots of twists and turns mm-hmm. and lots of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm. So as you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned like junior high to high school, the friends following. So let's talk high school to post high mm-hmm. school. I'm assuming you are thinking these things through, as every parent of a 16-year-old is thinking. Where are you at in your heart and head with Addie and high school through high school, post high school?
Yeah. So she is currently a sophomore, and I we have talked college. Like, I just put up again so much. I have, my experience has been what I guide her to and teach her and sort of instill in her. And I think that's true of all of our kids, but in particular with Addie, she's sort of like, oh, okay. Yeah. I think I want to go to college. And we've talked about what college looks like. And, so we've talked about the different colleges that she could go to, where they're located, things like that. So she has actually even told her teachers, you know, that she plans to go to college. Cause then at IEP, they're like, is that accurate? Cause some of them are unaware that it's even a possibility, you know, it's like, really guys, but yes. Right. Right. So that we have planted those seeds in her. Cause that would be my desire. Not because I think she's getting some sort of 4-year degree. I don't expect for her to even do anything with that. It's more about the experience of it, the independence of it, and the possibilities for her there to just give her that opportunity. So that is what we're thinking. We have done some research. We have more to do because I'm like, I don't know. I've had thoughts like, could we send her? Is that a possibility? Like, do we just sit here and move apart? And then that's when I get like, I don't know. That seems crazy.
Right.
But I'm open. I am open because I want to give her a long leash so that she can actually, we can figure out what she is actually capable of. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted like, okay, maybe you can go live in another state without us and have supports there to kind of go through a 2-year program. I don't know. Or maybe it will be local. Maybe that's actually, but let's try first. Let's, like I said, long leash to see what she ends up being capable of. We can always retract. We can always, right? So that's kind of our thinking. I would love nothing more for her to be super independent. Definitely want to have her to have a career. We've talked about things that she's passionate about that she enjoys doing. She has thoughts on that. Everything from, I mean, it does shift and vary, but everything from like running a coffee shop to being a preschool teacher, which I actually think there is variations of both of those careers that she could actually fully do. And so we're going to explore those opportunities. So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, Jen, thank you for talking to us and giving us your time. I know a lot of our listeners have little ones. And so I wanted to ask you before we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to say or share?
Yeah,
that we haven't covered?
I think that, I think I went at this to in every season to say, okay, there was going to be highs and lows in every season. There was no, I wasn't going to enjoy every season, but I was going to embrace it. And I was going to do the best I could with the circumstances that we had and with the uniqueness of our family and our setting and not give up. And not give up. And I think in the little phase, it's super important just to look at yourself as, I mean, you are their best advocate. You do know best. And I did often not take no for an attitude that I didn't go at it swinging though. I just didn't. I would encourage not to go at it like, you know, guns blazing, because that never went well. It didn't mean my kids call it my strong voice. I used my strong voice, but it was because I believed the best for my child and I wanted them to have a long leash too. And I wanted them to like, let's just at least try. And then I would encourage you not give up, keep believing like ridiculous possibilities, keep believing that they're going to have friends, keep believing that they're going to like be strong communicators, keep believing that there's possibility for them to read and write. You'll learn along the way, like, oh yeah, no, Addie's never going to do anything past really good addition. Okay, that's fine. We'll stop. I'll give up. We're done with math. No big deal. Third grade's good. Like, and you'll navigate that as you go, but I would encourage you to keep setting the bar high, because you will be so surprised so often, and it will just continue to increase your hope. And sometimes you'll be disappointed, but honestly, it'll be better than what you imagined. But if you had set the bar low, So, and then just embrace the journey, because it is a wild ride, but it's worth it. And it has Addie's enriched our life and everything we do. She has seasoned absolutely everything that we do and who we are for good. Mm. For good.
Thank you, Jen. It's so good. We are at one of our favorite parts of our show where we all share some good news. And Jen, I would love to hear from you if you have some good news to share about Abby.
Oh, so much good. Okay, good.
Wonderful. Okay, well, listeners, we'll be back with good news. So truly, take it away.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I'm sort of blown away that, at 16 years old, I have this beautiful, she is little, she's still little, like the size of a 9-year-old, but this beautiful little girl that actually has a voice, that she has a voice. I love that she has started to advocate for herself in communicating her wants, her needs, her passions, what she cares about. I am so honored to be able to, parent her, and I'm still definitely parenting her. We're not friends by any means, though I do enjoy relationship with her because she actually has an incredible personality. She's got a beautiful sense of humor, and she has a voice. And I am very proud to let you know the good news about Addie and for your kids is they will have a voice, mm-hmm. and it will matter, and it can make a significant impact in this world if we'll let them use it.
Thank you, Jen.
Good. Yes and amen. I want to share some good news.
Yeah, yay. Let's hear it.
Okay, I got some good news. So speaking of wheels and driving, my sweet Mason Hope when she was in PT at like 2 and 3 years old, they'd put her on a tricycle and she was always like adverse to like, and then they'd Velcro her feet to the, pedals. Cause she wouldn't pedal, like to help her, you know, pedal.
Yes.
And it just, we have said her whole life, she's just not a kid who likes wheels. Like she's just not a wheeled apparatus kid. She's not on a scooter. No desire. She's not on a bike. No desire. Right. And it's one of those things. Yeah. We've got like, where is the thing? Where are we going to put our energy here? And if she's not going to ride a bike ever, a tricycle, anything with training wheels, scoot on a scooter her whole life, then she's not, we're not going to claim that, but up to 12 years old, no big deal. Well, anyways, my parents got an adult sized tricycle for my mom and they brought it down to our house. And a couple weeks ago, Mason rode on the tricycle for the first time, freaking
big
pedaling and like, whatever. Now what's this? Steering the handlebars, navigating it. And she's been so adverse to wheels that it was like, just to get her to sit on the seat. It was like, just sit on the seat. Just sit on the seat. And when she realized she wasn't going to fall because it was a trike and it's an adult trike, so it's inappropriate for her. Yeah. And bless, you know, she's also pretty tiny. The seat is as low as it goes and she can like on her tiptoes hit the pedal.
I love it.
Just riding around. And it was just, yeah, it was so exciting. And then August is our son with Down syndrome, who's 7. He's been riding a bike with training wheels for maybe a little over a year now. So he's riding behind her and he's like, I taught her how to do that.
I love it.
Awesome.
You sure did, buddy. Anyways, Mason riding a bike.
That's so huge. Exciting. That's it's huge. So
huge news.
It really is. Addie does not ride a bike. She does a flicker scooter. And then we got her like this motorized little scooter because we all go ride bikes. And I'm like, I was having to kind of like jog behind while she's on the flicker scooter and everybody's like, you know, miles ahead of us on the bikes. And so we got her like this little motorized one. So that's a win, girl, because we never actually mastered that. So that's great.
So it's exciting.
So exciting. So good.
Mercedes, Micah, do you have some good news, ladies?
Good news. What is Sunny Mae up to? I've shared this before, but you know, it's just a season we're in that I'm going to share it again. Her speech is just exploding. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting because It's been a long time coming, and I'm just excited for her, you know, to get mm-hmm. her points across, because it's all been up there. And I was thinking, Mike, I'm going to send you, Sunflower has a gift of finding the most annoying songs that she really loves. And since it helps her speech so much, that is the songs we listen to. Awesome. And I know. So we've fallen in love with this like really homeschooly sounding woman that I adore. Do you know the letter sounds?
Yes,
I know her.
This is fun. That was my childhood.
Oh, yes. Era is Sunflower's fave. And those kind of people are Sunflower's fave. And so that's what we listen. I'm sorry if the annoying seems harsh, but you know, while everybody's listening to hip hop with their kids, we are, do you know the letter sounds?
Right.
I love it.
I'm in.
That has helped her. And I don't know, she's on her way to reading. She does really, really well with sight words. And I think she's amped on her verbalization. So reading has been really fun right now. So that's good news.
That's awesome. Good. I have one more from a listener, at Mrs. Tant or at Mr. Stant. How do you know?
I think
MRSTANT.
That is funny.
Says, my good news is that Ellie Belly signed daddy clearly and intentionally when she wanted to be helped by her dad.
So good.
Good
so
news, good. Ellie Belly.
We're so proud of you, Ellie Belly.
Okay, friends. Well, thank you for joining us, Jen. We've enjoyed our time with you.
I love talking to you girls. You're a good time.
Woo!
And it is fun to connect about our babies.
It's so fun. Okay. Before Mercedes closes us out, where can we find more about you? Tell our listeners.
Yeah, Instagram. That's probably like most accessible. And it's just Jen Jones times 4. Those 4 kiddos. That's it. Let's go. Addie makes appearances. Addie did get an Instagram, but we're spotty on it because I'm at,
It's real touch and go. Enough Journey said. Is still
Sometimes
out.
There's too many stories in there that I'm like, wait, what? So just start at Jen Jones times 4, and maybe I'll toss you on over to Addie.
That's amazing. That's so I love cute. It.
I love it. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, friends. As always, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail or DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or business that wants to help us shout the worth of people with Down syndrome, then we'd love to partner with you. You can email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. And a huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, dear listeners, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We are cheering for you. Love you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.